Hello, and welcome to our At Any Rate Emerging Markets Focus podcast, the place for us to discuss recent developments and key issues of focus in the emerging market fixed income asset class. I'm Johnny Goulden from the Emerging Markets Strategy team here at JP Morgan, and I'm joined by Saad Siddiqui, also from our Emerging Markets Strategy team. Saad, thanks for joining.
Hi, good to be here.
So we're sitting here in the aftermath of the third consecutive month of upside US CPI inflation data, which surprised to the upside. And this obviously has caused some significant repricing in fixed income markets yesterday and EM assets with that. This has actually come after a relatively good period for EM assets. We've had better growth outlook globally and commodity prices going up. But this US data has caused us to rethink some of our stance for EM fixed income for now. And so we'll try and focus on that in today's discussion. So to start with, we've obviously had a strong run of US data for a while. Why did yesterday's CPI data specifically cause us to reassess our views around EM local markets?
So we did shift our bias from a bullish one to a more neutral one on both EM local bonds and currencies off the back of yesterday's US CPI print. We have been arguing for some time that so long as the Fed is cutting rates, the timing didn't really matter all that much. But if we are confident of being in a gradual cutting cycle, that alone would be sufficient to help emerging market assets deliver decent positive returns. And I think that also explains why, despite a pretty decent repricing in the US yield curve already year to date. Remember back in January, we were pricing in over 100 basis points of cuts, and now it's far less. EM assets overall held in well on the view that the regime was still one of rate cuts, and we can debate the details of timing and overall magnitude. But now, as you said, we've had three consecutive upside surprises to CPI inflation in the US. I think that does open the door for a more bearish potential scenario and regime for fixed income assets more generally. So we're not saying that's the base case now, but clearly the probability of something like the market having to think about no cuts, for example, that is increasing. So I think it makes sense to step aside a little bit and just let the dust settle on this one.
So what kind of scenarios should we be considering now, and should we be getting flashbacks to 2022 type environment?
So the scenarios, I think, are still one of an elongated US business cycle, what seems overall to be a bit of a soft landing scenario still that's playing out. But it's that last stubborn bit of inflation, I think, that's cause for a bit of concern for markets. This is not a situation, anything like 2022, at least not right now, when inflation was really surging and the Fed was looking like it was behind the curve. But I think the market does need to think about, well, what if the rate cuts are delayed much more significantly? What if there are no rate cuts? So a lot of those other scenarios, I think, do come in to the picture. Some of those are clearly a bit more adverse for EM fixed income assets. Others, you know, are not necessarily that much. You know, you could have a big downside surprise to inflation next month, and I think the market could flip back again into a bullish mode and would probably follow that alongside it. So I think you just have these scenarios out there right now that seem a lot more kind of binary in a sense. And that's why it makes sense to step aside a bit. Having said that, it's not really a time, I think, to stop out on core views, which we'll discuss a bit more in a bit. But Johnny, I've been focusing a bit on these negative changes here from CPI inflation and potential further increases in US yields. But what are the offsetting factors here that are, you know, more supportive for emerging markets right now?
Yeah, so to offset some of those negatives, obviously, as the market rethinks that the rates path, there has been probably most significantly the rise and broadening in global growth. And you can see in our own economist forecasts have been moving up nicely, including emerging markets. I think it's also the broadening of that. So it's not just US focused, it's more global, it's manufacturing as well as services. That's also, as well as some positivity around the way the China data has come in, been helping drag up commodity prices. And you've seen that in the run-up to this week in the way EM currencies have traded, some of them getting to you know, sort of stronger levels on the back of that. There's also the fall in EM inflation, which certainly at the beginning of the year was a very nice counterbalance to what was going on in the US rate side, and has helped our markets. You know, we've outperformed US by, you know, 40, 50 basis points so far this year in yield terms. But I do think those should be put in the camp of offsets. Historically, I think those factors probably will not be enough on their own to make EM assets rally in the face of a market which has to rethink the path of US rates and the Fed. So offsets, yes, but not necessarily enough on their own.
And what about other factors that are relevant for EM? Technicals, valuation? How do we stand with regards to these factors right now?
Yeah, so I think technicals and valuations are probably not in a bad place to weather this kind of change in sentiment, and should mitigate a bit. So if you look, for example, at EM local bonds, if you look at them inflation adjusted, so in real yield terms, those EM real yields are actually the highest since 2009 at the moment, given the move lower in EM inflation. You know, you've highlighted previously that EM currencies are generally cheaper if you look in long term versus the dollar. We've been looking at how they've been lagging some of these global cyclical upturns at the moment. So the valuation side of things is probably not in a bad place right now.
And what about positioning?
Yeah, so I think positioning is also not stretched when we look at our metrics on an asset class type of level. So if we look at our client survey, positions are around flat in EMFX. If we look at our EMFX risk appetite index, which we like to follow, it's been sort of oscillating around zero as well, not showing any significant positions. I think probably anecdotally that feels right to me coming into this. Although you may have had in the last week or 10 days as EMFX has been rallying, it does sometimes sort of suck in people to get a bit longer. Also, if you look at sort of global investors, if you just take flows as a metric of their sentiment and what how they've been seeing the asset class, they really have not been putting any money into EM bond funds. In fact, quite the opposite. So far this year, we have had 10 billion of outflows. That's on the back of 34 billion of outflows last year. And that was on the back of 90 billion out of outflows in 2022. So it just doesn't feel like the global investor has been piling into EM. In fact, the opposite, they've on the margin been withdrawing money from the asset class. So it feels quite clean in that sense. I think the technical position on the asset class level looks fine, although there are always going to be some pockets of overpositioning. So turning back, Saad, to thinking about the situation on the ground in EM, how does the inflation and monetary policy pictures within countries affect how we think about how they will fare in this kind of environment?
So I think it's important to recognize that emerging markets have their own inflation story. It's no longer being driven by a common global factor, as was the case back in 21 or 22. And the contrast this week between the downside surprise in inflation in Mexico, which is the EM country with the greatest trade and economic linkages to the US, versus the upside surprise here in the US, I think that was quite telling about the sort of independent monetary policy and inflation trajectories that we see in emerging markets. EM central banks so far have not been dependent on the Fed to commence and continue with their own cutting cycles as well. And by and large, I think that type of environment will persist unless of course, we have a much more radical rethink about the Fed path and if we're kind of in those much more adverse scenarios. But for now, I think it is worth, you know, holding on to core positions where we think you've got very strong disinflationary trends, where you have strong central bank support for those cutting cycles. A lot of that really is in Latin America, also in Central and Eastern Europe. So those are core positions. You don't necessarily want to be getting rid of those. You don't want to be stopping out at pretty attractive levels for those. But what is important is to risk manage a portfolio that will have a high correlation to US yields, that even though that beta might be less than one, it's still going to be something that is worth managing in terms of, so in terms of cutting size of the overall positions. And that's really the direction that we've been going in, which is to kind of neutralize our top down views on local rates, but have those core alpha positions in those attractive markets still in place.
And what about similar type of question for EM currencies and what they look like in terms of their differences?
So something that we discussed in the last EMOS, the Emerging Markets Outlook and Strategy monthly publication, was thinking about alternative funding currencies, because the dollar is unlikely to weaken very rapidly or quickly in the immediate future, given the strength of the US data, given question marks about how much the Fed can cut. And we identified, you know, both G10 and other EM currencies that are likely to prove to be good funders to monetize what still is, in many parts of emerging markets, a pretty attractive kind of macro backdrop to earn decent returns on FX. So if you want to be long, say, Mexican peso or some of these other currencies that we like, the high yielders, it's probably better to try and fund them out of low yielders in G10, where monetary policy is being cut. So, you know, we mentioned Swiss franc already, or even Asian funders where yields are already very low, places like, you know, I don't know, CNH or Thai Baht. Those are also attractive funders to have, I think, here rather than the dollar. So, Johnny, so local markets were more neutral, coming from a bullish stance. Credit, we were already more neutral to begin with preference for the very high yielding segment of the asset class. How does this change in US rates environment alter your views on the credit side of things?
Yeah, so I think an environment where the market is questioning the Fed's ability to cut at all against a backdrop of firming global growth is not necessarily a bad one for credit markets, as recession risks are being seen as fallen, and certainly that's what our economists think. But I think it's going to depend which bit of the credit markets, and I think that's been our theme for a long time. Fundamentally, I think you have also quite a lot of idiosyncratic driver in those, let's call them post-distressed EM sovereigns, who are coming off the back of a couple of years of really special situations, distress, some going through restructuring, some narrowly avoided it. And I think those are drivers which are just, you know, it's a very big cyclical driver coming off the back of a distressed period, which is probably not going to be affected as much by even a rethink of this Fed path as the market's going through. So I think probably sticking with those, you know, post-distressed, very high yield type of countries and sovereigns is probably right. I think for the lower spread portion, you could see people start to look at it and ask, you know, in an environment where core rates are going to stay higher for longer, where the value proposition is in there. But that's sort of a theme, that bifurcation of the market is something we've been arguing for a while. And that brings us to the end of this JP Morgan At Any Rate Emerging Markets Focused podcast. Thanks to you, Saad, for joining today, and thank you all for listening. And we hope to have you back in with us for the next one. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024 JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on the 11th of April, 2024.